I salute thy voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of Rescue.
Oh, amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about something about the life of Joseph. And I've captioned it, how did you make it this far? How did you make it this far? How did you make it, Joseph? How did you make it this far? We are speaking about the life of Joseph, but we are titling it, How Did You Make It This Far? One of these days, people will sit you down and they will ask you a question. They will say, Alfred, how did you make it this far? They will say, Jonathan, how did you make it this far? Oh, yeah. They will say, Benedicta, how did you make it this far? They will be surprised. They will ask you, my dear, how did you make it this far? Because I know where you are coming from. I know your family. I know who your father is. I know the area you are coming from. I know what you have been through. How did you make it this far? Members of your family will come and ask you, how come you, dear, you have achieved this height? How come all of us, we are different? Some aunties will ask you, what did you do? That, as for you, your story is different from our daughter's. And you shall say, it is the doing of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. The doing of the Lord. So how did you make it this far? Genesis 38, verse 27. Genesis 38, verse 27. It's about the story of Tamar. If you know the story of Judah and Tamar, Genesis 38, verse 27. Now, it came to pass in the time of her travail, that means in the time when she was in labor, when Tamar was in labor and the child or the children, the twins she was carrying, were going to be birthed. Bible says that, behold, twins were in her womb. You know, in those days, they didn't have all the sophistication that we have today, the technology we have today. So, you will not know you carry twins until you are delivering. Before, when the first one comes, they still see somebody there. They say, hey, you have twins. Today's sophistication and medical advancements can help you to even know whether it's one or two, right from either the third month or something. Yeah. So when she was in travail, that she was going to push her children, then she realized that they were twins. Then the Bible said, 28, let's all read together, one go. And it came to pass when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. May you be first. Amen. There's something, so he's trying, this is King James, he's trying to say that as he was pushing and the midwives were telling him, push, push, all of a sudden one of the children brought forth his hand. That means that I'm the penny. Because identical twins, you will not know who is first. So the first one that came first pushed his hand out there like that. saying that I am the eldest. Then they tied his hand with a red rope, like the way we have some of our traditional people. You see that you have children, then they tie the hand of the child with some cloth. They say it will cast out demons. And it came to pass, as instead of coming, when the mother was still pushing, instead of the baby coming out, the baby withdrew the hand again, pulled it back inside the womb. Instead of coming, withdrew. What pulled the baby back, nobody knows. But some way, somehow, the baby went back. May nothing pull you back. You see, that is how some people, they are about to land the miracle. All of a sudden, then there's a swap. Say, then all of a sudden, may you never suffer from an almost syndrome. We call it the almost disease, the almost syndrome. And in life, sometimes people face the almost syndrome. When it looked like they were going to employ him, no, something happened. Then they say, okay, we have to hold on. When they looked like they were going to help him go to school, that year, no, somebody dies. They say that you can't go to school again. When it looks like you're about to break through the door, there's something. When it looks like, as for this guy, dear, he's yours. This is your husband. All of a sudden, something happens. Then the relationship messes up. It's called almost disease, almost syndrome. May you never suffer from an almost syndrome. Whatever your eyes will see, may your hands handle it. May you enjoy it to the end. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Then the Bible said, the midwife didn't know what has happened. But all of a sudden, this firstborn withdrew and went back into the womb. Then strangely, behold, the Bible says that, and it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. Now, are you picturing the child enter the labor ward and picture it? When the one who felt the air in the Ghana, first, and you tie the hand that this is the penny, then all of a sudden, something pulls him back. And when he enters, somebody sweeps and comes out. That oh yeah, cry, I mean I'm here first. Whether you tasted Ghana air or not, I'm paying. What a swerve. May nobody swerve you in Jesus' name. May nobody play a fast one. This one is like Jacob. This one is Jacob's character. Another bad boy. Then the midwife was surprised. Because now the one who has come out with his full body, he didn't come out with his hand though. For him, he came out with his full body. So now who is the first one? This one came out with his hand. Then they pulled him back. Hey, may no demon pull you back. Oh. May nobody take your place. May nobody take your birthright. The brother pulled him back and overtook him. So the midwife was so surprised. And then he asked, how have you broken forth? How have you been able to come out first? How did you do it? How were you able to pull your brother out, a baby? How were you able to overtake your brother? How were you able to achieve this thing you have done? May somebody ask you that question after tonight. Because something is going to happen to your life. They will ask you, how did you marry? How did you travel? How come you are out there? How come you are succeeding? How did you get a job in this same economy? How did you go to school? We all have the same family, the same parents. And you have been able to get to the university and I couldn't. How did you do that?
May that be your testimony in Jesus' name. I said, may that be your testimony in Jesus' name. We are not told what happened in the womb. Because when you look at the picture of babies, when they are born, they are like that. So I don't know how he managed to pull his brother back. But some way, somehow, the one who was supposed to be first became last. And the one who was supposed to be last became first. I pray that those who think they have gone ahead of you, may God cause you to overtake them. I say you overtake them. I say you overtake them. In the name of Jesus. Anybody here that life is trying to position you at the last, that life is trying to push you behind, I pray that may the authority of God and the power of God come upon you for you to overtake those who are ahead of you. For you to be able to overtake those who have gone ahead of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive that power now. Receive that power now. Say, I shall be the first. Say, I will not be the last. In the name of the Lord Jesus, clap your two hands together for Jesus. You shall be the first and not be the last. How did you break forth? How did you break forth? How did you achieve it? How did you make it this far? So shall be our story. And so he was named Perez. That's the meaning of Perez. Okay, Perez. That means breakthrough. That means break forth. How were you able to break through like that? How were you able to achieve this great feat like that? How were you able to get this far? So tonight, I am just trying to make you understand how you can make it far in life. Like this guy who was supposed to be second became first. You see? There are people who originally are destined to be first. But because of their own negligence and their own bad behaviors and characters, or because of certain errors and mistakes they commit, they swap their destiny with others. Now that is the case of this brother. Originally, he tasted the air in the earth first. He came out of the womb first. But instead of coming with his full body out, he came with only with his hand. And for some reason, he withdrew. But somebody was behind who was in a hurry. Originally, he was supposed to be the backbone. Was supposed to be the second. But because of his desperation and his seriousness with life, he was able to become first. Meanwhile, this guy who got the opportunity of the first played games. Perhaps he was going back to go and discuss with his junior brother that, hey, maybe I'm Mr. P and a horse, you. Perhaps he was going back to the womb to tell his brother that, hey, maybe I have been called a horse. Maybe somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean somewhere. But the brother was not joking with life. Umpa ubipe. Kacha not to say, umpa ubipe. If you know what somebody wants. Before he could say Jack, his brother had overtaken him. Sharp. And his brother became the firstborn. Meanwhile, he was supposed to be the secondborn. So his brother will get the birthright. Because in Israel, you inherit by first appearance. If you are the firstborn, then you are supposed to get the birthright. If your father is the king, that means you must be the king. You must get the blessing by birth. That is how it is supposed to be. But this guy lost it to his brother. I pray that you will not joke with your life. Amen. Tell somebody, don't joke with your life. There are certain things you have seen that it looks like, Charlie, you have it. It looks like, Charlie, it's going to work. It looks like, Charlie, you are the one for it. If you joke with it, somebody else will overtake you. You'll be surprised. You are in a company and you are playing like, oh, Charlie, you know, after all, I'm the one. Somebody can overtake you. Oh, yeah. Somebody can overtake you. Even in ministry, it happens. You can be in ministry and you think that Charlie, you are done. I remember those days when I used to follow my pastor. I was a little boy, so I just came back from school and I was just desirous. Like, every time I see the little ones like Matthew, I remember those days. I used to just be desirous. I just want to be close to my pastor who was so far from me. That was my whole dream. But by then, there were some senior prayer warriors, elderly people around him who are far older than me. They carry his Bible. They follow him. He go for programs with them and all that. They are the people to carry the mantle. As for me, I'm last baby cry. I'm part of the church. I'm not even part of those who are around him. Then I was just desiring. They thought that they would carry the mantle. They thought that they will really become something big. They thought that they would rather get somewhere far. They thought that if the man is not there, they will take over and all sort of things. But it so happened that me, one day, as I followed my pastor to go and help him and then do something, I started going to the ministry. I started sweeping, started weeding, started helping the wife, started ironing and doing everything that I can just to serve the anointed one. I was just doing that. One day, he just called me, follow me. He left all the old people. Then I started following him, taking me to big, big places. Around that time, I was 14 years old. 14. 14, 15, or just follow him. He will be invited to Apostolic Church headquarters somewhere, big, big places. And I'll find myself 15, 16 years boy, and I'm sitting among apostles with clerica round their neck with gray hair. And I'm just a little boy sitting behind them. But God was preparing me for something. God was preparing me for something. And I'll be gathering, I'll be carrying his things, I'm going up and up. Then my seniors who felt like, oh, Charlie, you are a small boy. We are the ones around daddy. You know, we are the ones to carry that, Charlie. We are the ones. We know we are big boys. One of them told me, he laughed, he said, oh, you think you are doing something, Ama. We have followed him. What did we get? We got nothing. Oh, yeah. That's how some people think when they see new people trying to serve their pastor, they're like, oh, what you are doing? I've done it. Carrying his Bible, going to him, cleaning his car. I'm like, oh, I've done it. It's pride. They told me that they have followed him and they got nothing. When we even come back, every money he gets, he will not give you some. Where he even gets food, you go back with empty stomach. That's what they told me. They tell you, you'll be hungry. He will not give you anything. This man is wicked. That's what the seniors told me. But I wasn't there for money. I wasn't there for the food he has been given. He went to preach, not me. I'm an apprentice. No boss shares his money with the apprentice. No boss shares his money with the apprentice. You are learning. I was just serving. I was doing the work of an Elisha. They thought they were ahead. Thought they were ahead. So eventually, they all did a big boys and I took over. I took over. Now everywhere the man is, I'm there. Now everywhere the man is, I'm there. If you will not preach, you will give me mic. Preach. Before they realized, I was the only person. If you see that poster, I think I have a small one in my archive. If you see that poster, my face was small, 19 years old, with my name, Pastor Prince, on a poster. Big poster. And me myself, when I saw my face, I was even laughing. I said, Today, when I see my brother, why did they put this baby face on that poster? But I got the chance. Today, look at where I am. Today, look at what God is doing with me. Now, guess what? Those people who thought they were big guys around him, they are nowhere. Today, they have no ministries. They have no churches. They are still struggling. Some of them, they gather, then it scatters. Some of them now curse me and they say, listen, even though you are youngest, we know, but now you are, how are you doing it? I'm not joking, I'm telling you. Because I carried the mantle from the old man, even though I was the youngest. You see, don't joke. Some of you are in a certain relationship, you are playing. Somebody will take it, I'm telling you. Somebody will take it. Some of you are joking. This is your dream husband. Oh, this is the one God has ordained for you. This is the woman who will change your life. But by your own errors and mistakes, you will lose it. And you think, I'll find. That is the deception of fools. The deception of fools is that I'll always get someone. That's the deception of fools. The devil will tell you, ask for jobs. There are more jobs. There are more jobs. Then you kick out your dream to your boss. Then you go write him application and you realize that you have been a fool. Remember, so Papa, Ayana. Catch up, is a Papa, no? Ayana. Already, remember, no moon doors was as you so. One more moon doors was, you know, a bit time your union, a bit time your papa, a bit time your uncle, a bit time your cousin. Or we now, your typical question anymore, Asaka, Kitwa. Kitwa nisusu, imi mwa wari, ya tifi mwa akase, kitwa, sa kitwa nisusu, ebi uhono mwa, omayo mani sa mwa wari, dafasa mpa bra, eno mubebo, eno susu ya tifi mwa, akase, kitwa, sa kitwa nisusu, ebi su hono mwa, nyamia yomu yuno, omu ni feeling, omu ni yoma ni ejuma, so je wu mari, etu de titiko, na jimi wopo ni mu. I get it, the calculation I'm making. You play the fool in the pool. Play the fool. There is another girl somewhere who is intentionally cooking and bringing. Same applies to the guys. There are many women in the world. That I'm asked for the women, there are many. But the correct ones, the one that God has created to suit you, how crazy you are, the one that can tame your craziness and your foolishness, is one. So you play and let them go. And say that I'll get some. You know, I'm a fresh boy, I'll get some. That is the story of this guy. He brought out his hand and then he sent it back. He was going to do consultation before he realized his brother has overtaken him. May nobody overtake you in Jesus' name. May nobody take your rightful place in the name of Jesus. May nobody seize that which could have been yours in the name of Jesus. May no one sit on your dream chair at the office in the name of Jesus. May no one enter into the company you are destined to enter in the name of Jesus. May no one marry into the room you are supposed to marry into. May no one take that which belongs to you. Let me hear your loudest amen. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. But how did you make it? They asked this guy. And among many people who in the Bible had this testimony of achieving something great, and people were wondering how. Amongst them is Joseph. Joseph, from a very, very difficult story, sold into slavery. How a slave can rule on a foreign soil without war? It's not like he rebelled and fought against an empire. No. An empire was handed over to a slave. Not a slave who was walking about as a free man. A slave who was a convict. A slave who was in prison. A slave in prison, you hand over an empire into his hands. Have you heard some before? They just brought him from the prison and you handed over an empire into his hand. Pharaoh said that, I hand over the whole of Egypt. Rule my people. It is only in the matter of who was born the chief that I am chief. But practically, you are chief. I hear what I'm saying. How did you make it, oh Joseph? How did Joseph make it to that far? Control the children. How did you make it that far? Oh, Joseph. Number one. Write this scripture down for Joseph. Write this scripture down. Genesis 45 verse 4. Genesis 45 verse 4. Oh, Jesus. Elohim Israel. Kadad Abahash. Genesis 45 verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near to him. This time he was the emperor. He was now ruling. The governor. And he said, I am Joseph. One day may you have the need to introduce yourself. Because you will have the need to introduce yourself. Said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Verse 5. Now therefore, do not be grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me. For God did send me before you to preserve lives. God sent me. He was telling them that you sold me, but God sent me. God helped me. May God help you. May God be involved in whatever happens to your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The only question, imagine if you were the brothers of Joseph, that over 20 years ago, you told your father that Joseph has been eaten by a lion. And he said, and you took his dress filled with blood to your father. And you lied to your father. Meanwhile, you knew you sold him to become a slave. And after a slave, you still know how to see a bekuno. So you knew that your brother was dead. And today you are standing before a governor everybody's bowing to. The whole world, including you. In fact, you have been accused of a stolen cap. And they have brought you to him and you are already begging and shaking. And he comes to you. And then he removes his governor robe and what they put on their hair. And he cleans all the Egyptian coli. Do you know coli? I've not been to school before, so I don't know how you call it. How do you call it? Those who have gone to school, how do you call it? Pencil. Pencil is the one that we use at school. Color pencil. Then you see the Egyptian government, they have color pencils, black. Then they mark. So Joseph had grown 20 years after, done the Egyptian coli and makeup, and worn his crown. His crown is like those ones, like if you have seen the Egyptian, like long wig sort of. You can't make him out. So they couldn't make out that this is their little brother. And he had learned the language of the Egyptians, so he was speaking. He was not speaking like a Hebrew. He could have spoken their language. He could have I know Kayakasa, but he spoke the foreign language. So they knew that their brother is long dead, slave boy. Imagine if you are them, and your brother just removes his cap and cleans. Already he's crying in front of you, and the tears clean. Then he now speaks in your language, and you mean Joseph. Because you know how you threw him into the pit. How he stayed in the pit for days. So you don't expect that he should be alive. And so the question going on in their mind was, Joseph, how did you make it out of slavery? How did you become the governor? How did you make it this far? Listen to me. Somebody will ask you on your graduation day, how did you go to school? Somebody will ask you on your wedding day, how did you get married? Somebody will ask you when they visit your matrimonial home, they'll ask you, how did you do it? Somebody will look at the building you have put up and they'll say, wow, how did you build in this economy? May that be your story in the name of Jesus. I said, may that be your story in the name of Jesus. At the end of your story, no matter the pit you entered into, no matter the slavery you entered into, because you stood for God, no matter the prison you were thrown into, may somebody see you tomorrow and ask that, how did you break through? How did you achieve it? How did you become this? How did you get far? How did you achieve that? Clap your two hands and say, I am the one. Say, this is my story. Say, this is my story. Say, this is my story. Jesus,
you are Elohim Israel.
Shaka ta 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 ta.
Hello, God Most High, Jesus Christ, you are Elohim Israel.
did Joseph make it that far? Number one, write it down. His love for righteousness and hatred for sin. His love for righteousness. Joseph made it far. If you are going to also make it far and defy the odds in your house, the odds, the limitations of your father's house. Oh, I remember when some people saw me from my father's house for the first time. They didn't know. Some of them didn't even know that my father had a son like me. Some of them didn't know. It was a surprise that really that man had a son like this. Wow, that man had a son like this. They heard that he's a graduate from the university. They were surprised because from that corner nobody can cross that mark. Nobody can cross that mark. They had what? He's having a wedding. It doesn't happen. Everybody gives birth to different children with different women. It doesn't happen in our house. So everything was different. And you could see that people just attended my wedding. They didn't know me. They just came because they have heard. They were just coming to confirm. That it's true that this good-for-nothing man, he can have a son who has achieved that kind of thing. They just came to watch and they saw it. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus. They say, how did you do it? A lot of pastors come to me and they ask me, how? How did you do it? It looks like I have a certain secret. When I tell them, there's no secret. There's no secret. It's just do the work of God. Just even. How did you do it? Somebody even asked me, how did you marry your wife? It's even a question. That one is an achievement for me. Oh, yeah. That one alone is an achievement. The fact that a jobless guy, according to them, I don't do any job. I am only a pastor, and they have no respect for a pastor. And my church was not as big as this with branches. I was just started as a beginner, and I had nobody, just young people. Why should a lady from such a good home with such a good future, doing a good course in school and all that, why should she fall for me? So one guy asked me, how did you get your wife? Because he thinks that he should be working, making money to be able to get a lady with a certain, you know, level of academic, whatever, and good home. But it's not by might. It is not by pocketing. It's not by pocketing. It's not by pocketing. When I was in tech, there was this man who used to come and sell this kind of boutique dresses, either from Togo or somewhere, I don't know. But he normally comes room to room. And he was popularly known for no inspecting of pocket. That's his one of his 10. There's no inspection of pocket. His whole message is that buy it and wear. Even if you have no money, nobody will inspect your pocket. Buy it and wear it high. And it's so true. Because if I wear it high and I stand at my swagger and I call you, no inspecting of pocket. No inspecting of pocket. You address me according to my dress. True or not true? Oh, there are times I was in suit. I had no money in my hand. But people say, yes, it's in Ghana where you are wearing suits, you are sir. And those days, one woman told my wife, by then she was not my wife, her elderly sister. You know, they were all against her for marrying me because I was a poor boy in a church. One day, one of them told her, because I think she and her husband used to church around somewhere down Soma. So they used this road. And by then, our church was in the classroom there. And how many of you remember? I used to wear white suit. Top and down, shoe white. White with red tie. In a class, I didn't have a car. Then you see me in the traffic with my school bag and my white suit like Lofro. Top. And I'm busily walking in the hot sun. Busily walking. And by the time I get to the church, the shoe is dirty. Because it's white shoe. You remember that suit? Katiu to dear. In Kausen, high another tenakam. Kausi and Anka. One more Musen is the only Kemisumisia. And I'm a minam daddy. And I'll be, hey, me, who will be I? I'm not seeing anybody. Me, Nami Humpo. My. Oh, see my. Me, classroom. I'm going to the classroom, I'm going to preach. Or the white wine, the back of the international wave. And the woman went to tell my wife by then, she was just my friend. I said, ah, Nakonya knew it. That was down for no catching, is there? You ain't white in front of love. Hallelujah. Today I'm driving a white car. That woman, today I've been giving her and her children right. I give them right. I pick her children from school. I give them right. That woman. Today I'm not useless. Today I give them right. When they need it, they need a big car. It's me they call. Open over, no call all here. Yes. I mean, I'm important in the family with my white. Tell somebody there's no inspection of pocketing. No inspection. Amen. Joseph! How did you make it? By righteousness. By righteousness. You see, if God will take you far, irrespective of the demons in your father's house, and the wicked spirits in your mother's house that do not allow all the things that you are struggling with, if God will bypass all of them and still lift you up, you need to have that virtue Joseph had. He had the virtue of fear of God. Right from the beginning of the introduction of Joseph, the first thing that was stated about Joseph was that, I think in Genesis 37, verse 2, that and Jacob loved his son Joseph because he brought bad reports of the bad behaviors of his brothers to his father. He was never part of it. He always comes to report, this is what my brothers are doing. And he never does them. That was the first thing we see about Joseph. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil reports. He didn't have evil reports. Rather, his brothers were... That's why when God was looking for a leader, God bypassed all of them and chose Joseph. Because he was not practicing evil. They were... Listen, if you practice the evil your family people are practicing, you will suffer the things they are suffering. Nothing can save you, I'm telling you. If you will chill the chilling your father chilled, you will end the way your father ended. No anointing oil can separate you. I'm telling you the truth today. If you will live the life your mother lived, I can bet you that you will end the way she ended. You don't need anybody to help you to. Because every altar is empowered by a certain character. Every altar in a family is empowered by a certain character. So, any family, they have a certain trace of problem. They also have a certain character running through them. Because it is the character that makes the duty of the altar work, or the function of the altar work. So if there is an altar in the family to make every man useless in the family, he can give the men the spirit of drunkenness. So they will start the behavior of alcohol. And all of them will like alcohol. And you will not understand. But it is empowering the altar that must make men useless in that family. If there is a family who has an altar that says that people cannot marry, women are not allowed to marry legally and have a beautiful marriage. Now that altar achieves that by making the women make bad decisions, date wrong people, enter into a certain lifestyle of thinking that they are beautiful and chilling, and they all date wrong people. And so they will end up broken heart upon broken heart upon broken heart, and they will never end up in marriage because their heart will never go to good people, or their heart will never go to right people. And sometimes they can't help it. They don't know why they only fall in love with people who can't marry them. And they'll keep waiting for the people for 4 years. After the long wait, when it is almost up and the person is about to break through, something will happen and they'll break up. And the next person they'll go to is Debbie. And they'll wait for that person too for the next 2 years. And by the time it's about to happen, something will happen and they waste all their lives. There's an altar and your behavior will empower it. I hear what I'm saying. If there's an altar to useless people in a family, or to make them jobless, one of the things is that it gives them the behavior of fornication. You'll see that the men will be involved in fornication. By the time they will grow, instead of job opportunities, beautiful, glorious future, they have traded all on the altar of sex. They have traded all in the spirit. So you see that they are struggling to have good things in life. And they will not understand, but they empowered a certain altar in their background. You see that all of them, they are handsome men, but women take care of them. And it's a family like that. All of them, the women they stay with, the women who take care of them. They can't take care of the women.
Okay, thank you. I'm treating cold, and cough and those things. Are you getting me?
Any altar that is behind you, you must find out the character it has planted in you that is empowering it. And sin is what empowers altars of our family against us. Sin. But Joseph made it far because he had the character of righteousness. He had the character of righteousness. And he hated evil. So he became different from his brothers. Became different from his brothers. Listen to me. It is not like I enjoy disturbing you by talking about these things, holiness, righteousness, and saying like that daddy always you have to hit on. It's not like I enjoy it. It is a pillar. There is nothing I can talk to you about that is not part. It can make nonsense anything I teach you. Once that one is not there, nothing will work. Bible says that if the foundation is wrong, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? You do your best to date this brother. And you tell yourself that I will not empower the altar in my family. As for this one I must marry, the altar will put pressure on you until you sleep with him. Once you sleep with him, the altar is empowered. He will fight the relationship. It never ends in a good marriage. So how did it happen? It happened because you empowered the altar. It can bring you back from that marriage after 3 years, after 5 years. He did it to your aunties. And you too, he's making you do the same mistake. Now, say every altar in my background that is being empowered by my actions, let it be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let it be destroyed. Let it be scattered in the name of Jesus. Speak in tongues in 1 minute. Speak in tongues in 1 minute. Speak in tongues in 1 minute. Rabados Shebrehedos Shakatala Bahas Remenenemano Shekatekebrehede Shada Rimenu Salabahadu Senele Menu Zenele Mahani Sanalamana Lamaha Rimenu Sinilimini Manalamanu Senele Menele Manabaha Remenenemano Shakataka Bahade Reketekebreketo Shakataka Breketekebrahas Rada da 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 ba de lebreketekebrakataka Brigidi Gibrakatala Bahas Brindu Zidilibrihadu Sane Ramanu Sanalamana Lamaha Remenu
Oh Jesus.
You cannot become great when you meddle in sin. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness. You have hated iniquity. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your friends. May you be more than others. I said, may you be more than others. But how does it come? The altar of righteousness. When you practice righteousness, you're on your way to the throne. Tell somebody, when you practice righteousness, like Joseph, you're on your way to the throne. Genesis 39, verse 9. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this wickedness and sin against God? How then can I do this wickedness? You call it sponsorship. Joseph calls it wickedness. You call it scholarship. Joseph calls it wickedness. You call it sugar mommy. Joseph calls it wickedness. You call it sugar daddy. Joseph calls it wickedness. Now, you don't call sugar, you call sugar boo. Sugar bay. And sugar boo. Ask the one by, do you have sugar bay, sugar boo? Do you have somebody who pays? You are enjoying the sugar, Abi? You are enjoying the sugar. Ask him, are you enjoying the sugar? Are you enjoying the sugar? Sugar boo. Sugar bay. Give me sugar, baby. Tell them, give me sugar, baby. Hey! What a shock. Like I prefer salt. Kawedia. Joseph said, I want salt. Amen. Hallelujah. Potiphar's wife said, I'm all yours. You know your boss, he doesn't stay at home. He will not know it. And at home, you are the boss. You are the second in command. So since you are you are a fine boy too. I am your mother. Nobody here will see you. You are the only one who has access to the chamber. Nobody else comes here. So as for you and I, and in those days, there was no CCTV camera. So there's no way Potiphar could have planted any camera. True or not true? This one, it is high-level secrecy. Nobody will know it. Nobody. Nobody will know it. It's not those days that people are slave queens. By the time they are sleeping with you, they are videoing it. This slave queen generation, be careful who you are sleeping with, because they are videoing it. Tomorrow when you say that, you can't do it again, they will say, Nkeba Achon Pastor. You will see. That daddy must hear it. He will blackmail you till you marry her. Meanwhile, you know the one you're going to marry is not good, but you have chop. So you have to marry by force. I hear what I'm saying. It's called Christo blackmail. When the church brother and the church sister, they are enjoying, and then the sister takes the video and puts down. The day the brother says that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me you are not my wife. He said, did the Holy Spirit tell you that I have a video? Meanwhile, you are the prayer warrior leader. You are elder something something. Is he the only elder? Why have you left the married one? You are calling. Why the married people today can't do some? Omoka the video omokesi or yuniska. Single volu video omaska shida niyechile. Married volu video omomaska le boom boom.
I'm going to say praise. I'm going to video. Amen. Now, are you following what I'm saying? But Joseph stayed away from it. He didn't see it as a scholarship. And that is why God could trust him. Today I was telling somebody, can God trust you with what you are asking him? When God gives you the world, can he trust you? Ask somebody by you, can God trust you when he gives you what you are praying for? Can he trust you that you will still be who you are? You will still be the innocent you? You will still be the good guy you are? You will still be the good lady? Can God still bet and say that Akwawe may man billions of dollars are? He will still be a humble church brother. Still come to church, still come and clean, still come and usher. Can God say that? Or you say that, you know, I'm very, very busy. I have meetings and I have to attend some conferences and I'm traveling to Dubai and I have some meeting with Bill Gates and my company is bringing some, you know, and I have some goods on the ship and they are coming. You know, I have some meetings. You know, Pastor, you know, these days the system is run 24 hours, Mahama economy. Because of that, we work on Sundays, you know. Can God trust you? Can God trust you when he gives you a husband? Can he trust you? When God gives you children, can he trust you? That you still love, you will still be there. You won't change. Ask somebody, can God trust you? When he gives you that company, when he gives you... Anytime I'm there, I ask myself, can God trust me when he gives me a big church? Can he trust me? Can he trust me with the girls? Can he trust me with the boys? Can he trust me that I'll take care of the girls without sleeping with them? Can God trust me that I'll take care of the guys without taking their money, duping them, lying to them, giving them fake prophecies so that I can take their money? Can God trust me? It all depends on how I'm handling those he has given me today. That's why I don't joke with church members. I don't joke with church members. Because God is testing me whether he can trust me. And after I finish my exams, you will see me all over the screens in the world. And you know, I'll not be doing anything gracious here, but I'm all over the world because he has trusted me. Can God trust you? Can he trust you the way you want to be famous? When you become famous, then you are on every billboard. Can God trust you? Is a question. That we will still see minister something. And do you know that up till now, Minister Nathaniel Bassey still goes to church, still has his church. If you go anywhere, he still asks his pastor, Pastor Deboye, permission before going. If Pastor Deboye says, no, we have a program, you have to stay. He stays, no matter how much you are paying him. The last time I heard Professor Johnson Suleiman saying that he intentionally gave huge bag of dollars to Nathaniel Bassey. And says that, I have a program, I want you to come. This is your honorarium, I'm paying before you come. Back. When a Nigerian is giving you bag, it's bog. He said, Pastor Nenatabana said, no, sir. No, sir. You can keep it. I'll have to discuss it with my pastor first before I know whether I can come or not. Hey! How many people can relate with their church? In Kweja, sorry. Obeka said, you know, I'm too big. You can't keep me in one church. You know, I have to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So I have to go everywhere. You can't keep me only your church. True or not true? So ask the one seated by you, what you are praying for, if God gives it to you, can he trust you? Can he trust you? They say, I will not say that in Pono. Now, hear me. Now, who need company? Now, what car? Imagine how many more left. Imagine how many more left. Say, see, I'm not you, what you want to move? What you want to move? And so, a year was there. Sister, no, Jenna, Hono, how? Or come up, Papa. Ah, sister, here, come up, how? And no, Jenna, we have to say. And then, go crack, card, young, because sister, and Kaube Fano. And Kaube Fano, Kofi, Kaube Fano. See, I now am dad, you know. Michael, am I lying? See, I now own Chicago. Is that only dying? Only dying. And so, Uniki. This is your brother, that's all okay. Sestiana unikilo unikilibo self-control I ask them self-control migusu kasa me paucho sha honso uniki na unyeki sestia opeche utimi naro roommate na wa wenya udai uti naro ase uti naro ase. You know narrow, right? You know narrow. So called tech. You know narrow. You can say narrow. She said, "Unu roommate, na wa oge best row. Na wa said that change the chali oba. Na wa the wa said the PM out. Na wa cut na baby no bo TV game be edge na home. Said the baby aubenya all the room to yourself. Your friend in narrow. Say narrow." They say, I will need them for Unaru. Who need them for Unaru? Now we're not dying. We are sure, say, every month, open him one. Every month. Open him will be every month. 12 months, 12 pregnancies. Amen. Number two. How did you make it this far? Win the heart of your father. Joseph won the heart of his father. Verse 3, chapter 37, verse 3, Genesis. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. May you win the heart of your own biological father. Win their heart. Win the heart of your mother. Win the heart of your spiritual father, your pastor. Let them love you. Anybody who is a father to you, win their heart. You are working in a company. Win the heart of your madam. Win the heart of your boss. He's a father in that area for you. Win your heart. Joseph had a father. When he had his own biological father, he won his heart. When he worked with Potiphar, he won the heart of Potiphar. He handed over everything. When he met Pharaoh, he won the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh handed over everything. When he went to the prison, the guard of the prison handed over everything. Everywhere Joseph went to, he won the heart of his fathers. Learn how to relate with your fathers well. Learn how to relate with your fathers. Learn how to relate with your fathers. Learn how to enter into their hearts. Learn how to win their hearts. And they will always be blessing you. They will always be speaking into your life. How do you win the hearts of your fathers or your mothers? You win their heart by number one, obedience. Obeying. Obedience is the first key to win the hearts of fathers. Because fathers like giving instructions. And they will tell you things that you don't want to hear. Your friends will tell you things you want to hear. But a father will tell you what you don't want to hear. That's the difference. Because your friends are looking at your happiness today. Your father is looking at your happiness tomorrow. That's the difference. That's the difference. So your friends will tell you, hey, Charlie, it's you. It should be hot, oh, Charlie. This one, they don't feel resist, oh. But your father will tell you, there's a destiny ahead of you. Don't do this. Wait. Marry her. Take your time. Do this. Don't go in for this. Don't go there. Work with this. Don't befriend this. Go that way. Don't join this. Do this. A father is looking at the future. But a friend is looking at today. Your happiness today. A friend is a cheerleader. A father is a corrector. A correction. Somebody who corrects you. Somebody who corrects your life. He's not a cheerleader. I'm not your cheerleader. I'm there to make you happy. They said, oh, wow, you're looking good. I'll say, you're not looking good. I'll say, it's too short. I'll say, your bum bum is too out. Go and lose the dress. I'm not a cheerleader. That's a lot of you. When I tell you that, see me in the office. They say, what has come? Because I'm not your cheerleader. I'm always looking for something which is not. You see, your friends are looking for what is right in your life and talk about it. Your father is looking for what is not right and correct it. But what's not right, so that I'll straighten it. So fathers instruct. That's why sometimes you don't like me. But we won't say, Daddy Kayo. Pastor Prince Kayo. Yeah. Because I am not your friend. I'm not your cheerleader. I am a father. Bible says that he whom the father loves, he rebukes. If I don't rebuke you, you are a bastard. You don't have a father. Don't say, hey, well, go and read the Bible. The Bible says that the one who his father doesn't rebuke him is like a bastard. When they say you're a bastard, it means you don't have a father. That's the meaning of the word bastard. And the Bible said that if you don't have correction, who will fear? Umamin kawasem, upapan kawasem, who you're a bastard. You don't have a father. But if you have a father, they will tell you that no, don't do this. Don't do that. This is wrong. Do this. Do that. That means you have a father. So in this church, may you have a father. Don't just be a church member. Have a father. I should be able to speak into your life. If I am afraid to talk about your issue, you are not a child. You are not my child. You are just a church member. If you realize that I don't talk about your issue, come to me and say, "Mi Waba, Daddy. Me ba so won come once them that last who preach, you know. What can I say? Because it means that I don't see you as my child. Those I see as my children, I talk to them. I call them. You are new in this church, isn't it? Haven't I called you to my office? Didn't I ask you about your life issues? I asked you, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a boyfriend? What work do you do? How old are you? And then all that. That means that I'm beginning to see as a daughter. I want to know her. I want to know who she is. So I told her, okay, from today. Where didn't I tell you that before you accept any relationship, you come and tell me. I'm trying to make her a daughter. But by the time I see that she disobeys one, two, I'll withdraw. I'll not talk about her issue again. Then I know that, no, she wants to just be a church member. That's what church member is, the preaching you listen to. But as for children, personal meetings, near chewing him, now you're correct. That is what shows that you are a child. Do you understand? Nyamita doesn't get instruction from the pulpit. I deal with her personally. So if you are my child, I should be able to call you and deal with you personally. Do you get it? Tell somebody, don't just be in a church. Make sure you are close to your pastor. Make sure. Don't just be in a church. You don't have a father. You don't have a father. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Win the heart of your father. Another way you can win the heart of your father is to give him gifts. Like Esau. Jacob told him, bring me gifts. Isaac told him, bring him gifts. When you read Genesis 25 verse 8, Bible says, and Isaac loved Esau because he always ate from his hunting. But Rebekah loved Jacob because Jacob was always helping Rebekah. Now, so it is who you serve. That is how you get love. Yeah. Jacob was serving Rebekah, so Rebekah loved him. Esau was always bringing food to his father, so his father loved him. So one way to honor or to eat into the heart of your biological father at home, your biological mother, your father at work, your father in the church, your mother in the church, your mother at work, wherever you are, that you have a mother, that you want a blessing. One of the ways, aside obedience, is give them gifts. Just go and buy one cloth, some CCSB, and go and give to that woman and just tell her that, oh, mommy, God bless you for all that you did for me when I was a child. Oh, meba, yami shira why? That's how to provoke the motherly blessing. Are you getting it? That's how to provoke the fatherly blessing. Go and give your father an envelope. Don't say he's a drunkard. And found Noah, now a boo. It's to Oshira and a man, a beam. Or do me back on so a beam. It's all papa, a drunkard, oh, mommy, or your den, Daniel. It doesn't matter. Amen. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Rise up to your feet. I want to pray with you.
I'll continue next week. Have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? I've given you two. I've given you two out of seven or so. So we'll continue the rest. But we are going to pray. We are going to pray. Lift up your two hands.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.